Important dates in Christian history. 1620. Pilgrims coming to America sign the Mayflower Compact and commit themselves to seek the public good, uphold group solidarity, and forsake self-seeking. The Pilgrims' influence helped to create the religious freedoms enjoyed today in the United States. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
No, Jimmy, I'm not gonna back down. This is Wretched Radio. I don't care what the books say. I don't care what vets believe. Poodles are not dogs. Okay. They're just tall cats with curly hair that kind of feels silky, and I don't, and it gets on my nails, and I just don't really like it very much. I know this. It's a gut thing. They are not dogs. By the way, I was talking to somebody who works in veterinary medicine. Guess what dog gets, now this is one individual, but guess what dog gets put down more than, well, I shouldn't say more than any other because it wasn't framed that way, because I have a funny feeling pit bulls and mastiffs are way up on that list. I was shocked to hear golden doodles.
Really?
Yeah, because they're apparently overbred, and they are such a hyper animal as a rule that people just give them up. And they're getting put down. That was kind of surprising to me.
I would have said chihuahuas.
Chihuahua.
They're mean. They're so mean.
So Emily had her dog DNA done twice because she received two gifts and they were from different companies. Hey, here's a shocker. They were different. I mean, some of it was on there, but it was definitely different. And one of them had Winnie classified as a super mutt. What's a super mutt?
Yeah.
I mean, is that just to make mutts feel better? Well, you're not just a mutt. You're a super mutt. It's like, you're not a bum. You're a super bum. Okay. Well, I guess that sounds better than just being a bum. And then it would had different, like the Australian sheepdog. Both of them did have, weirdly enough. Okay. Do you know what a Weinerammer. I think that's how you say it.
Yeah.
Do you know what that is? Tall or short dog?
It's a short dog.
It is not.
Is it not?
You don't know what it is, then.
I've heard of it.
You know, can we please remember only the talk show is always host okay, is always
I'm
right
sorry,
here.
I'm sorry.
I think they're short too. I don't know, but Winnie has Weinerammer in her. I don't think so. How did in the world would that get packaged into a dog that's about a foot tall? But enough about poodles. Let's get back to what is a favorite subject of Jesus, and that is the local church. This might help you, courtesy of Ligonier. Six things to do when you don't feel like going to church. Be honest, it happens. In fact, I don't even know that it has to be sinful necessarily. For instance, you could have last weekend gone to the Tennessee-Georgia game and got home at 1:30 in the morning, and sleeping in didn't sound horrible, but we got up and we went to church. Why? Because it's better than sleep. This is not just true of the church. This is true for anything that Jesus says is good, that he puts on his priority list of things that are important. So anytime we're inclined to do the thing that is not what Jesus would prescribe, we're doing the lesser thing. Sleeping in, that's not necessarily sinful. You're just getting some rest, catching up on some Z's. And even though only ended up with like 4 hours of sleep that night because somebody had to take a look at the sermon that morning, it was better to go to church than to sleep in. How do I know? Because assembling with the saints is more glorious than we actually realize. And it is good for us, and it is one of the means of growth. No, it doesn't mean that when church is done, I'm going to be clicking my heels. I've got so much energy. It's like I slept in for 9 hours last night. No, I'm just saying it was better for you. Not having enough shut-eye versus not having the assembling of the saints? I mean, that should be a no-brainer, shouldn't it? And this particular article from Ligonier I thought was really helpful. This is a sweet beginning of an article. Early in my ministry, I don't know who the author of this is, just says Ligonier. Early in my ministry, I visited an elderly man in a retirement home whose body and mind had been steadily declining. As a result, he'd not been to worship for some time, and when I found him, he was sitting alone, rocking back and forth, repeatedly uttering the words, "Take me to church." Wow. Isn't that a Hozer song, "Take Me to Church"? I think that's about as contemporary of a thing as I've ever said. When we gather for worship with a local congregation, we join with the great assembly in the heavenly places. Maybe knowing that will help you to one day be in a nursing home in a rocking chair saying, "Take me to church," because you realize how special and sweet it is. What you are doing on earth on Sunday morning is what is already going on in heaven. You are joining heaven. Everybody seems to want to take a trip to heaven these days, and apparently they do. It's interesting that most of them write books about it, but nevertheless, you and I actually do join heaven. Not on some sort of heavenly tourism bus that seems to go back and forth. No, we're joining what they're already doing in heaven. That's what we're doing Sunday morning. Can you think of anything better? Let me put it this way. Let's say you're exhausted Sunday morning and you're blurry and you're staggering. Either the coffee ain't cutting it. You're just punchy. And I said to you, "Would you rather go back to bed and sleep? Or what if I could take you to heaven where you could join the heavenly chorus praising God?" Which one would you choose? If it's the latter, then go to church, because that's what you're doing. "When Christians go to church," writes Ligonier, "we do not merely gather in a local setting. In these earthly assemblies, we are lifted by God's Spirit to His heavenly presence. The great privilege of every Christian, because of our great high priest, is to come to the heavenly Jerusalem and enter the heavenly Holy of Holies to offer up a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name." That would be your Hebrews 12 and 13. That's what we're doing on Sunday morning. It's more. It's ethereal. It's grander than just trudging to a building to sing some songs, no doubt, you don't like. Because is there anybody who really likes the church music anywhere, like fully loves the church music? You're all... I've heard some people say, "We try to do a mix, old stuff, new stuff, whatever." And that way, you know, everybody's just agitated, which is true, because we've got our preferences, don't we? But we're doing more than singing songs. We're joining the heavenly chorus. From the article, "If you're working through feelings of not wanting to go to church, it is important to examine your heart and motives. Bring it to the Lord in prayer. Lord, why do I not feel like going to church?" And it could be that you've got a spiritual matter that needs to be dealt with, that your priorities are off, or you have failed to remember what you get to do. Do we have to go to church? No, son or daughter. We get to go to church. That should be our attitude. If it isn't, then ask the Lord to help you. More diagnostic work from the Ligonier article. "Sometimes our own sin can keep us from wanting to worship. If that's the case, confess your sin and know that you're forgiven. If perhaps it's the sin of a brother or sister in Christ," in other words, "I'm not going to go see that person. I might bump into that person." Guess what? You can reconcile. Confront that person. Seek reconciliation. I know, awkward, but that's what we're supposed to do. If a brother sins against you, go to him or her, Matthew 18, 15, Rexella. You don't have to, "Oh, they're coming down the hallway. Go up the stairs." That isn't the way we should be loving one another in the body. If there's any place where two warring parties can have terms of peace and be reconciled, it should be the church. Forget a peace conference. We've got the local church. That is where it should be happening. If you find that you're not in awe of God, meditate on his attributes until you can ask with the prophet, "Who is like God?" If you find worship boring, ponder what you're doing when you sing. You're singing with the heavenly hosts. Not sure angels sing, because believe it or not, they don't sing to the shepherds. They announce to the shepherds. Do they sing praises? I don't know. It might be something that is uniquely human, but those humans who are in heaven now are certainly singing, because singing is something, by the way, that is uniquely Christian. Muslims, go to a Muslim service. You don't hear any singing. You can maybe hear some chanting in a Jewish temple, but it is we Christians that are the singers. In fact, this is from John Fulmer. We're the singing people. We sing because our salvation is accomplished. We sing to instruct others. We sing because the end is near. And we sing to join the heavenly hosts in praising God for what he's done through Jesus Christ. Back to Ligonier. Schedules that are too full, even full of good things, can also be a sinful reason to skip regular worship. A sinful reason. Discipling little children, difficult college studies, demanding work schedules, health issues. You might think that, hey, staying home, I need to stay home. Nope. You need to get yourself to church because he's going to be the one who offers you rest. And you can, I can't tell you that if you're bogged down in studies and you go to church and take time away from the books that God's going to give you an A. But I do know this. He'll be well pleased with you. Why? Because he loves the church. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You ever notice how many voices are just clamoring for your attention these days? It seems like every week there's a new theological trend, another fresh interpretation of the Bible. Well, that's exactly why we've launched Fortis Institute. Drawing from 1 Corinthians 15:58, we're committed to helping you stand firm. Through Fortis Plus, you're going to get free access to 7 new pieces of audio and video content every single day, hundreds of hours of biblical content, exclusive director's cuts. But here's the thing, we're only able to continue providing this fortress of truth with the support of faithful gospel partners just like you. Your monthly gifts help us reach millions of people all over the world with the uncompromising biblical truth of God's word. So if you're ready to stand firm with us, just visit us at fortisinstitute.org and become an ongoing monthly gospel partner today. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
There are many struggles experienced by our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, specifically those who run the Master's Academy International.
The biggest challenge for men attending TMAI, especially in our context in Ukraine, is the opposition from people in the church who oppose sound doctrine, and therefore men really struggle to transform their ministries in accordance with the Word of God.
The Master's Academy International in Ukraine, fighting a battle on two fronts. You've got Russia, of course, and you have opposition from the church in Ukraine for biblically trained pastors to preach the gospel. Would you please consider supporting the Master's Academy International? Adopt a seminary, 17 different countries. Might want to turn your attention to Ukraine. To learn more about this amazing legacy ministry, visit wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
You notice how the world feels a lot different lately? At Fortis Institute, we see it too, and we're responding with even more resources to help you stand strong. Every single day, you get fresh video content that addresses today's critical issues. You get podcasts on marriage, parenting, and theology, biblical insight from trusted voices like Pastor Brad Bigney and Dr. John Kratz, plus Gary Barbell's weekly cartoons that are funnier than any dad joke you can ever hear from me. Todd made me say that. Best of all, everything is absolutely free through our Fortis Plus app. From Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford to Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, we are equipping believers like you to thrive in this brave new world. So join thousands of Christians who are already growing stronger in their faith every single day. Just visit fortisinstitute.org or download Fortis Plus right now. Always free and always faithful to God's word. Fortis Institute at fortisinstitute.org.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is teaching, the spiritual ability to explain and apply God's word. A teacher studies to gain knowledge of the Bible, is equipped with wisdom to understand it, and is gifted with the ability to explain it to others so they can grow in God's truth and apply it to their daily life. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, Jimmy.
Yes?
Can I tell you about this guy who just left our church?
No.
That's the right answer. This is Wretched Radio. Okay. Oh, how gossip can simmer. How it can be spread like kudzu. Okay, sorry. That was just for the Southerners. How it can spread like gangrene and absolutely wreck a church, destroy relationships, and sometimes cause churches to shutter their doors. An article written in the Independent Baptist titled, What to Do When Someone Leaves the Church. It was aimed at pastors. Please note, if you've been going to a church for a season and you leave, you just need to know this. I'm not saying that it isn't the right thing for you to leave. That's between you and the Lord. But I do know this. Your pastor feels a sting. I know it. I know it. Now, to be certain, nobody's ever left Alpharetta Bible Church. So I'm speculating, but because I'm sensitive, I can tell you it hurts. It just, you need to know that. So if you're going to go well. This particular article is aimed at pastors, but I think all of us can glean something from it in an actual broader application than just somebody who leaves church. Because it's oh so easy to just chit-chat about other people or the pastor or elder decisions. And all it does is undermine the church. If it is not done with a godly motive, with the right rules being applied, it's battery acid to a body, from the article. Pray first. Speak to God before speaking to others. Whether it's somebody who left the church or it's something going on that's getting up your nose, it's something that you see that you think needs to be done. Before you talk to anybody about it, this tongue has got to be bridled. We've got to get it under control. Ask the Lord, hey, Lord, can you please help me know that my motives in this are correct or incorrect? Or shut me down so that I don't commit a sin of gossip. And by the way, speaking of the stuff that isn't getting done at the church that you recognize, I would suggest to you that is your calling. I'll even go further. That would be your spiritual gift. Hold the phone, Henrietta. Actually, I didn't bring that into the studio, but there was an article that said, rather than asking the question, what is my spiritual gift? Ask what's the need of the church that I can fill. There you go. There's your spiritual gift. Because maybe it isn't necessary to be asking that question and doing some sort of a neogram to figure out what your spiritual gift is. You see something and, you know, be good if that were taken care of. And I really think that that's important. Then do it. And you're applying a spiritual gift. And I think that article was pretty helpful and challenging and pretty, I've never heard anybody put it that way. Stop asking what your spiritual gift is. Start serving the church. Look around and ask what needs doing, what needs fixing, what hole needs filling, and then get on it. And you're doing things for the edification of the body. And I think that's why the list that we have of the spiritual gifts, you see them in multiple places, but none of them are the same. And they're certainly not exhaustive, because perhaps the emphasis is less about on discovering what your gift is, although sometimes that can be pretty obvious. The idea is the building up of the body, doing stuff that actually helps. So find that if you're complaining about something, if something is in your craw, then just start doing it for the edification of the body. Back to when someone leaves the church. Prayer shifts our focus from judgment to intercession. It reminds us that God only knows the full story and that He alone has the power to work in somebody's heart. So before discussing a situation with anyone else, discuss it with the Lord first. Number two, avoid jumping to conclusions because you don't know the whole story. This is not the first time we'll have said this here at Wretched Radio, but this is why I'm not trying to somehow suggest that they are wrong or sinfully motivated. But whenever I see a documentary about a good church that apparently has gone wonky or a bad church that is even worse than you thought it was, I'm just really slow to watch those. Why? Proverbs 18:17 is the other side of the story being told. Are they being represented? If not, everything that I'm seeing might be true and accurate, but it might not, because there's another side of the story. There's an explanation. There's backstory that none of us are aware of. And that could be true with what's going on in your church. Why did the elders decide to spend the money on that? I don't know. Therefore, I'm not going to be talking to somebody in the church about how the elders spent the money, because I don't know. And until I do know, if I say anything, hey, do you believe that they spent money on that? Guess what I'm doing? I'm undermining. By refusing to speculate, we protect our hearts from bitterness. That's a good thing. And our tongues from spreading negativity. Number three, reject gossip. Protect their testimony. Instead of contributing to gossip, commit to being a voice of kindness and discretion. So instead of gossiping, put that off and put on what? Kindness and discretion. Discretion, I find to be one of the most rewarding things to do. Have you experienced this yet? It's not that I used to hear something and tell everybody about everything, but I wasn't aware about the importance of bridling the tongue. And so when I started to go to work on that, it was like, that felt good. I'm not kidding. It felt good. You could have said something about somebody to someone else, but you didn't. And it would have been fun. Would have been fun to tell that we like that gossip. Look, if we didn't like gossiping, we wouldn't do it. But we like it. There's something about it. And it gets us revved up. Don't do it. And see how that feels. You're going to feel like a man or woman of integrity. You're going to feel like a man or woman who can be trusted. You know why? Because you are becoming a man or woman of integrity who can be trusted. Try it. Gossip is a horrible thing. From the article, it's a destructive force that can damage relationships, tarnish reputations, hinder restoration. When we gossip about somebody, we weaken the body of Christ. And we all know Jesus loves his body. We create barriers that make it hard for people to be a part, to join, to come in, to visit. So instead of doing that, contributing to gossip, be kind and discreet. Number four, I think recognize God's plan may differ from yours. Why did somebody leave the church? Don't know. Maybe God wants them someplace else. So I don't want to assume the worst. So let's just say in this context, it's somebody who leaves the church and you bump into them at the grocery store. And maybe you've heard that it was under a shroud of mystery and intrigue. How should you treat them? That's easy. Lovingly. That's simple. If they're a brother in Christ, a sister, despite all the swirling rumors that are going on, until some church practices church discipline and determines, they're out of here, we love the brethren. Guard against taking it personally, Pastor. Show love and kindness when you do see them. Perhaps those rules for pastors on responding to somebody who leaves the church, helpful for all of us. Might I, perhaps, as positively as possible, encourage you to join a local church? You're needed there. Get in the game. And this is the upside. It is so good for us. I know we're all kind of going, I think we're okay in America now for at least 2 years, maybe four. We're good. I don't know why that the person we think should be in the White House brings such, okay, everything's okay. And I know that's what it feels like. It's like, okay, the danger has abated. No, it has not. You walk in danger all the way, no matter who is in the White House, and you need the safety and protection of your local church. And if you aren't serving, if you aren't going, I have to tell you, I just warms my cold conservative heart. There's a fellow, I'm not going to mention his name, was kind of trying to get things sorted in his life. And I said, you know what I think would be the best thing in the world that you could do? If it's not this church, find a Bible teaching church and don't just commit to it. Don't just join it. Immerse yourself in it. Go to Bible studies. The men's events, attend them. Show up for the Clean the Church Saturday. You'll feel the fruit start to grow on you and in you. And he did, and I can see it, doing those very things for him. We should love the church because Jesus loves the church, period. But wow, look at the benefits that he gives us. The loneliness epidemic cured. Depression can be abated. Your besetting sin can be mortified, and you can join the heavenly hosts on Sunday morning when you worship the true and living God. What is not to love about the church? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.